Get out your wallets. It's time to invest in Stonks. They're back, baby. We are two-thirds of the way through spring ball, so the podcast daily. We're overdue for one, right? Let's get rich. That's Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. And firm's going first.
Jeremiah Smith. Yes, sir.
We're not allowed. I thought we banned that.
We banned Jeremiah Smith Exchange on this ticker.
Trading is closed.
I'm going to just keep going off of what I talked about at the end of Snap Judgments on Wednesday, and that's Josh Simmons.
That was a whole day ago.
Yeah, he looks a whole lot different, and he said he's moving way different. He said that a year ago in practice, when he would have JT Tuimoloau or Jack Sawyer on the edge against him, that he would have a very tough time getting out to them. He said now it's pretty easy, and he feels really good about where things are. I drew the ire of my coworkers months ago, saying that he was going to be a second day pick next year.
Whoa! The quizzical stares, maybe.
He's going to be.
It was the time frame you were suggesting that we questioned.
He's going to be a second round pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
And great. So now they got to replace two tackles next year.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to replace him anyway.
What?
They're going to have to replace him anyway.
He's got two more years left.
No, he doesn't. I don't know what you're talking about. I think Josh Simmons, I thought he played pretty darn well for Ohio State in his first year here, but you can see the change after having a full year in the weight program here, where coming from a place like San Diego State, no offense to the Aztecs, like they just don't have it like that. And he's definitely done the work, and I think that you're looking at an all Big Ten left tackle.
Okay.
I'm
trying to think of what's back in the Big Ten. Oh, well, now Oregon's in the league, and Oregon has two good tackles, but he definitely has a chance, I think. I'd buy that.
Berm goes first and takes an offensive lineman.
I know. I was going to take an offensive lineman. I'll pocket it and talk about it later. one thing with Josh Simmons, this is a stock tip, but it's not my pick necessarily. Oh, okay. He said the most difficult guy to block is Mitchell Milton. He said Mitchell Milton has like a very unique pass rushing style.
He's really good at it. Every time he's on the field, you see it.
A healthy Mitchell Milton is an asset, and he talked on Wednesday after practice as well. It was great to catch up with him, and he talked a little bit about that journey. And like, did you feel like yourself last year? And he's like, kinda, but not really. The injuries he had. Sorry to go off on this tangent, but he talked about other people have dealt with things that are similar and not been able to play football at all. And so it was a long process to recovery, a long process to not just getting back to the level you were before, but then taking the next step, because he wasn't a finished product at that point. There's a reason that Berm has talked about him for several years being an edge threat, why Jim Knowles and others talked about him being a fit for the Jack. Like, Mitchell Milton is a very good pass rusher.
Yeah, and I think, like, in a world where we're talking a lot about defensive line depth, the necessity to play it, I don't know. I guess keep an eye out on him. You know, Kenyatta Jackson and Keenan Curry are still there, and will probably play more than him, but does seem like he's doing something to catch attention. I'll say on the defensive line, I'll buy some Jason Moore stock, I think. I know we've talked about it quite
a bit. We just did all that, and you're not even buying Mitchell Mountain stock?
I prefaced it by saying I wasn't.
He said it was a tip.
Because I didn't think anybody was.
But he wasn't buying
it. I thought that your stock tip was going to be something more about Josh Simmons.
No, it was what Josh Simmons said. Okay. About Mitchell Milton.
Yeah, I get you now.
Are you even watching the show?
I don't know where I am right now, man, to be honest.
You're in the show right now.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. Welcome. Whoa, man.
Yeah.
Jason Moore. Huh?
Jason Moore. Who? Like?
Didn't you do that last time?
Have we done? When's the last time we did one?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Berm took Jason Moore.
It's been
Moore.
Years since we've done one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe we have, and I won't talk a whole lot about him then, but.
You're in the show right now.
I'm in the show right now. It was like Larry Johnson talking him up and then like seeing it on the field on Friday. And it's not like he was making a bunch of plays, like routinely living in the backfield, but he made enough for me to be like, okay, it's not just like lip service. Like, this guy is actually doing some stuff. And some of the interior offensive linemen too that we talked to last week were talking about how well Jason Moore is playing. And I think the lights very clearly come on, and the combination of size at that, like the size, athleticism, and then playing on the interior, it's just a whole lot to deal with if you're like a shorter arm center or guard. What was Jason Moore's word?
To quote Jason Moore about Jason Moore, it's unreal.
It's unreal about himself. So it has the potential, I think, to be. Again, another guy, like he's in the depth. He's not going to start, but a position that's going to be really important for them. So I think that stock is on the rise, and I'd like to grab some more of it now before it gets too expensive.
I think I may have second-guessed myself coming into spring, because last year I don't think everyone agreed with this, but I thought like Bryson Rogers was closer to playing than, let's say, Noah Rogers. I thought that he might be able to carve out a different role and find the field before him. There's no way for me to prove that now. And then I kind of forgot about him as an option for the rotation when he went into the transfer portal. When he pulled his name back out, that should be like, hey, remember you thought he was good last year? He could still be again. I don't know what it looks like for him in that rotation. We think Ohio State's going to run the football more than it's going to throw it this year. You have Jeremiah Smith, you have Brandon Ennis, you have Carnell Tate, and you have Emeka Buka. Is he fifth? What's going to happen with Jaden Ballard? I don't know. But he made a couple plays that certainly caught my eye Saturday in the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage. We talked about him a little bit at Roosters on Monday, but like the acceleration, the straight line speed after he caught, it was like a little bit of crossing route, turned up field, pulled away from guys, and everybody flocked to him to celebrate the score, and he, you know, had them rallying around the touchdown in the end zone. I think there's something there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it could be punt returns, kickoff return, if being the fifth wide receiver or and being able to play a little bit in the slot gets him on the field. But I want to have some piece of it, and that's I got to scoop some of that stock up because it's not just those first four wide receivers, I don't think.
I really enjoy discussions about players like Bryson Rogers, who, as a freshman, we were all like, there were a lot of people saying a lot of good things. We watched practice a couple times. You're like, oh, he looks good. He needs to get bigger. He needs to do this. But he doesn't play. Then he goes into the portal, and the realistic and rational approach to that is, well, it sucks, but it's not hard to replace a guy who never played. And then when he's actually good again and back and decides to come back and he's eye-opening again, people will be like, oh, you said he's hard to replace. But, like, all those things can be true at once, sure. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's why my next pick for a guy who – there's a lot of things that can be true at once about and a player that I think people probably would have sold off some stock on is CJ Hicks. And
oh, yeah.
People
probably get that for a good price right now.
Like, I really do believe that something has clicked. And Ohio State, the conversation a year ago from Jim Knowles about how they're going to unleash him, like, obviously BS a year ago. But I think they've discovered – thanks to the defensive line that's returning, thanks to the secondary that's returning, it allows you to get creative with the linebackers. And I think CJ Hicks is going to have a really, really good year because of that. And I want to buy the dip on CJ Hicks stock because that dude athletically is very, very unique. And I don't think it maybe gets discussed enough. Everyone wants to complain and wonder why a five-star is not playing. He did not play linebacker in high school. He did not play safety in high school. He did not play defensive line in high school. They put him in the middle of the defense and said, CJ, just
do whatever you want.
Go get the guy with the football. Hey, CJ, do you want to return kicks? CJ, you want to return punts? CJ, you want to be the running back? Like, that's what you do when you have an athlete like him. And as hard as it is for people to get their head around sometimes, like, it takes time for all of these things to come together when you're now focusing on one spot. And I really think this spring is the boost that he needed, and I'm buying CJ Hicks stock again.
It's a good one.
Smart. Someone asked me, one of our texters asked me the other day who the sixth offensive lineman is, or who I think the sixth offensive lineman is. And like, it's always a kind of a complicated conversation because it's never like the next tackle or the next guard. It's like, if they lose a guard, maybe Josh Fryer kicks inside and Tegra Shibola goes and plays tackle, right? Or like, I think the only like straight one for one would be at center with Seth McLaughlin and Carson Hintzman, however that shakes out. But if you thought of it more in terms of just like a straight depth chart, who is the next guard? Austin Saravelle's name comes up a lot, like when we talk to people. So like, I don't know what that means for this year, but I'd like to buy some stock in that young man's career because I think he's tracking to be a starter here at some point, and they're going to need a new starting guard, at least one next year. We'll see how things shuffle around after the line turns over. But it seems like he's positioned himself quite well to be the next guy behind Luke Montgomery and Donovan Jackson in the guard conversation. And like, Ryan Day brings him up. Justin Fry brought him up unprompted the other day. I watched him a little bit last week, and he had some nice moments. Like, there's definitely some times where you remind that he is still a second-year player, and that's totally fine. But just a guy like in the background, maybe won't factor in a whole lot this year. Unless they decide to do more like multi-offensive lineman packages, like I could see them doing some stuff like we saw Michigan do. And I'm not talking about just goal line or red zone, like line it up in the middle of the field with seven offensive linemen and see how that defense can handle that. I think there's some guys pushing, including Tegra, who might get them to a spot where they feel comfortable doing that. And maybe Austin Sarrivold is one too. So it just seems like he's putting in a lot of really good work. So I'd imagine it's a stock that no one is all that interested in at the moment for a sophomore guard who's not going to play a whole lot. But when we're standing here next year talking about this and he's in line for a starting position, don't forget I told you about it.
We used to have a ton of conversation and, I guess, jokes, because I would talk about Paris Johnson's calves and ankles all the time and how they were just perfect for an offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And people would take out – some people would, like, constantly mock what I was saying.
Yeah. It's true, but it's still weird. Yeah.
You were evaluating a high school senior's ankles and telling me that was something to get excited about. And I was like –
Austin
was he right? Or was he right?
Austin Sarrivold's calves.
He's right, I guess.
And
the man knows ankles.
His legs are like, when you look at an NFL guard, that is Austin Sarrivold.
Tree trunk like.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. Sequoia. There's a lot of rings in those things.
If there was also a great sell-off and maybe some soft interest right now in Carson Hinsman, I think I'm more inclined to take some of those back up at a low price. I'm not making a prediction that he's going to beat out Seth McLaughlin. There's probably a better than average chance that he won't. But, and maybe in 2 weeks, I'll regret it if another program goes in there and wants somebody who started 12 games in the Big Ten at center and offers him a huge price to leave. But he's also publicly talked about it on his famous podcast appearance back home in Wisconsin that the NIL thing is not really driving a lot of his decisions. He has enough runway still ahead of him in his career. He has the potential, if need be, to potentially kick to guard to be another one of those options that we're talking about. Like, and he could still very much wind up being Ohio State's center in 2025. That's without considering the possibility that he could win it and still be the guy in 2024. I think I was impressed with him talking about what happened last year, not playing in the Cotton Bowl, knowing that he had to get better, working through some of the late season issues that he was going through physically, mentally, whatever, that led to not playing in that game in December. I think he still got it. And it's sometimes, especially on the offensive line, if you run into a little bit of early adversity, you're just like, well, that's never going to happen. It is truly a development position. If he is committed to seeing that process through at Ohio State, which it seems like he is, there's still a very bright future for him at center. That could be at Ohio State or anywhere else, really. I mean, I still think that highly of him as a player once he finds that next step. Based on the way he talked and based on what we've seen in the handful of practices where I thought the offensive line is better now than it was at this time last year in spring.
Yeah.
And that's with either him or Seth McLaughlin at center.
Yeah. Stock up on Justin Fry and the work that he's doing with the offensive line. And as you mentioned on Wednesday, like, you add in Chip Kelly and Tim Drevno to that, and this offensive line and the run game in general should be really, really good for Ohio State, as Bill has been stocked way up on for quite some time.
Yeah.
I want to be careful how I couch this, because I think that we don't like to do stock downs. We don't like to do stock level. But I think
you don't.
I don't.
I've done some stock downs.
I don't like to do it.
And everyone lived.
I don't like to do it, okay? I think that it's...
You're just a nice guy.
I think that it's something you don't want to have to do, because you're saying, well, I don't know
how this Fleming made me do it.
And I'm going to say this in a way that's going to make myself feel bad. Because
oh, no.
We talked about Mitchell Melton in the beginning of the show. And the more you think about guys like him and Kenyatta Jackson, I just find myself worrying that there's no real regular role for Caden Curry to be a true defensive end in this system. And I wonder how they find an alternate path for him, because he's so good on the field and so competitive and such a troublemaker on the football field that you have to find somewhere to play him. But I wonder if there's a different way to do it. And I don't know what it is, but I want to see him
fullback.
Maybe he's more inside. Maybe he's a full. I don't know what it is. I worry that we're not going to get to see the full Caden Curry experience at defensive end, because you see guys like Edrick Houston, who will need to play at some point this year. Mm-hmm. You see what we're getting out of Kenyatta Jackson. You see the conversation and hear the conversation around Mitchell Melton. I just don't know what that is for Caden Curry. And I love the kid, and I'm like the president of the fan club, but I'm wondering how he fits.
I think it's fair to wonder that, but also when Austin, I think, asked Larry Johnson last week who the next guy is, the first name he said was Caden Curry.
Yeah, but things get said a lot, and then when push comes to shove, like, is it true? And We're going to certainly see him a lot in the spring game. He'll be out there causing havoc like he does. But when the season comes around, is he going to be that guy? And that's what I'm wondering about. Because I think he can be, and I think he deserves to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't really believe in people deserving things often, but he's put in the time. He's put in the work. He does all the right things. He gets on the field and makes plays. It's not like he gets out there and sucks. So it's just one of those things where I'm just waiting for that opportunity.
I think he'll play.
I think he will.
Yes.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Okay, throw that one back and give me Mitchell Melton stock.
He took your tip.
Yeah. Can I buy Julian Sain stock? Am I allowed to? I
mean, you're allowed. Berm did it. And that's what happened. You weren't on the previous stock report in spring, and Berm bought a lot of it.
Yeah. Okay, is there any left?
There's some left, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you 10%.
I'll take it because the ball comes off that dude's hand differently than everyone else in the room. I think he has a lot of physical maturing to do, which is part of his deal in high school, right? It's like junior year to senior year, he made some pretty substantial gains and then rose up the recruiting rankings. Probably needs to develop better arm strength to throw the ball down the field more consistently than he currently is. But on the short and intermediate stuff, the quick release, the accuracy, the way he can like navigate stuff a little bit in the pocket and like find a slot for him to throw the ball, I think all that's very impressive for a kid that's as young as he is. And I think, you know, whether or not he's QB2 this year, depending on how things shake out the roster, I don't know. But when that kid is QB1, like I'm not – the kid who was number one in the recruiting class is going to be really good, is what I'm saying. But
that's bold.
Sometimes like you get out here and you do watch a young quarterback and like maybe you don't see it immediately.
Sure.
I feel like we are seeing it immediately with him. And it doesn't mean he's going to play immediately, but when his time comes, he'll be ready for it.
The best thing is that like the anticipation, the accuracy, the things that he – those are the things you really can't teach a guy.
Yeah.
But it also, because he comes in here and is able to display that early, like the confidence immediately goes up. And there is like a wall that freshman quarterbacks can hit. When you walk in, you're like, I'm the biggest guy. I'm the best quarterback here. And then you're like, wait a second. No, I'm not. And then like, it is hard for guys to hit that wall, fall down and get back up. He is, I think, able to see, I do belong in this conversation right now. And to your point, like it's not going to be this year. I think it's probably unrealistic to think that he could be the starter this year because the physical growth is still so. You line him up next to Devin Brown and Will Howard, and you go, and well, there's the
even
freshman.
Lincoln. And even
Lincoln. Yeah, there's the freshman.
We've got a number of questions about that. Text subscribers and you know message board everywhere. It's like, well, Julian Sain's going to be the backup this season. I don't think that's true. I think there's actually, Bill and I talked about this on Wednesday. It's like, a good chance that the entirety of that top three stays, not 100% chance, a chance. And even if one leaves, one of the other three would be the backup ahead of Julian Sain. Like the physical development part is real. And especially if we're talking about quarterback run game, like Julian Sain would not, I don't think, be able, equipped at this point to manage that.
Yeah, super
important. But he's got a chance this summer to show up here in August for us to be like, oh, so you did it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, those are the things that's why, like, it used to be in the old days when, like, the camp arrival day, you'd see those guys, and you're like, holy crap, that's a big change. And now we see them so much that you don't often get that reaction. But I'd imagine Julian being a freshman, we're not going to see him as much in the summer as we see some of the other guys. So I am excited to see that because
we saw that with Lincoln last summer in kind of real time.
Yeah. I mean, but we had not seen him because he was, didn't enroll early. So we didn't get the chance to see him in the fall.
I got you. So. I'm trying to be a little bit more off the beaten path than I normally am on Stock Watch, so I'm not going to take Caden McDonald again, although I still want to. I think Lorenzo Styles is worth a flyer or two here.
I agree.
I've talked about him as an option in the special teams return game. He wants to be the kickoff returner, I think, more than the punt returner, which that's fine until the NCAA gets rid of kickoffs. But even at nickel or outside corner, I think that the leap he's made from last year to now seems to be showing up. He's putting in a ton of hours in the Woody with his brother. His dad's been around. Like I think they're really relishing this opportunity as a family to be in here and get extra work. And I think it's showing. I think the proof is out there. It's not that easy to go back from spending multiple years at a power program like Notre Dame, learning how to play wide receiver, and then like, you know what? Now go to the other side. And that's that. There's so much more you have to learn, different techniques, different schemes, different understanding of the game. And then when you're defending Ohio State's wide receivers, a different speed that you may even have to play at. Someone's going to have to back up Jordan Hancock at the nickel. And I don't know that you could do that with Jermaine Matthews. You could do that with any number of guys, but I think you want someone to drill that spot and learn it. And that might be where Lorenzo Styles is best.
I think you're right. I think it's a similar conversation to the offensive line thing that I was mentioning earlier. Like, if Jordan Hancock was abducted by aliens, maybe you'd put Caleb Downs at nickel and then you play Malik Harford at safety and Lathan Ransom's there. But if you're making a depth chart, I think the number two nickel right now would be Lorenzo Styles, which means he'll probably play a lot because the first five games of the season are kind of a cakewalk, or four games, whatever it is.
Yeah. Six. We keep lumping Michigan State in there, like a Big Ten game on the road. I don't know if that
– Show me. Figure it out. We'll figure it out.
You've been to games in East Lansing before, right?
Yeah.
Against bad Michigan State teams?
Yeah.
And what happens? The skies open
a
up.
A lopsided score to it's a little
It's 17-14 score. For no reason.
Those were bad Michigan State.
This isn't Mel Tucker's Michigan State, man. He's out of here.
I understand. It's going to take probably longer than 4 weeks for Jonathan Smith to have that.
What did Mel Tucker do again?
Probably have a better.
Redacted.
Oh, good. All right.
Stock down.
He's out. Who could have seen that coming? It's overdue. Another one. We'll have some stocks again, stock watch after the spring game, which is now 9 days away. Saturday, what day is that? The 13th of April in the Horseshoe. Get your tickets now. We'll be there, and we'll have plenty of coverage for that. But we're not there yet. Still one more practice this week for Ohio State, then four next week as they get
big
to 15.
Big one on Friday. Big scrimmage.
Big scrimmage. That's probably the one that's most important for their camp overall. So we'll see. We won't see any of it. We'll see if we can figure out what we hear about it. And then we'll talk about that as we gear up for the spring game next week. But that'll do it for the stocks on the Podcast Daily for Thursday. That is Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.